morning. Today is blah, blah, blah. The 22nd. Mr. Foster is alongside. That's all you need to know.
There you go.
Yes.
Tuesday.
Tuesday, too. That's right. First day of the week for some.
Really? Oh, yeah. Yesterday was a holiday.
Are you ready for why do we say it?
Why do we say it?
All right. Have you figured out which of the two you want?
What was it, Clue or Clodhopper?
Yes. Your choice.
And
clodhoppers do not involve dirt clods.
Oh, then let's. Then I have no guess on either one. So, why do we say clue?
All right, we'll go with that. How did the word clue come to mean a hint?
It's probably short for something or something Latin. Oh, okay.
A clue is literally a ball of thread, and in the old fable, the only way Theseus could get out of the labyrinth was by unrolling a ball of thread as he went in.
So the clue is what you find, and you slowly unravel it and solve
the hint,
the mystery.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, well, I'm
not big on mythology either, huh?
Well, and which is unfortunate because my mother was my mythology and world lit teacher in high school. But
there's
that was
a reason I asked that one.
That was a long time ago. The myths were all brand new back then.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I see. Mom listens, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Good. Well, I'll take care of your birthday present.
Yeah. Well, not getting one this year, clearly.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Maybe it's a good trade, huh?
Right.
Celebrity status or birthday present? You take your pick.
When do I get celebrity status?
Yeah, well, you know, you keep working on this thing here.
There you go. Exactly. You
show up, say something insightful, something a little controversial.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. City of Eureka looking at defunding or unfunding or whatever you want to call it, reallocating the dollars, if you will, from the Visitors Bureau for the county. The timing was sad, obviously.
Yeah, no.
The passing of Tony Smithers.
Yeah, that was really unfortunate.
When you hear things like that, that governmental is looking to take back what has been put out for quasi-public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nonprofit. I'm on the board of the CVB.
Or private.
Right.
Concern for you or from you? Because it would seem like it's kind of counterintuitive to what's been going on typically.
Yeah. There's a whole host of issues around that that particular decision. One of which, and we at the board, and I've been on the board of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. We call it now the Eureka Humboldt Visitors Bureau for many, many years. And the city of Eureka and the county of Humboldt, but the city of Eureka really has always been our dominant funder for all those years. You know, a number of years ago, the Humboldt Lodging Alliance came online, and so a lot of new money came into the tourism marketing world of Humboldt County. And one of the things we kind of talked about, never really got in depth about, but the board is, you know, does that mean that funding can supplant the funding that comes from the cities or the city of Eureka and the county? Because that money is 2% on the hotel bills and really for marketing and improving the tourist experience. And then the Convention and Visitors Bureau money comes from the transit occupancy tax, which really goes into the general funds of the organizations, and they can decide whether or not to fund. So we always knew that there was kind of these, maybe, you know, now that we've got this, you know,
pit in the pendulum.
Over $1 million of new money coming in when that new district was formed, that maybe the cities, given their budget constraints, would be less inclined to keep funding us. But
when the bed tax was put in place, it was 100% for marketing and the administration of those dollars.
Right.
Okay, fine. And it's been slowly shifted over here, saying, well, you know, cops are part of tourism. Roads are part of tourism. I suppose you could say painting the benches at the school could be part of tourism if you want, you know.
Yeah,
it seems a pretty specious argument. And full disclosure, I was on the Visitors Bureau board for 24 years.
Right, right.
Okay, yeah, I've got a predilection, and no surprise. It seems to me that the city is shooting itself in the foot and reloading on the other one. Things seem to be working positively.
Right.
Now, if they feel like they need to have dollars for marketing, then they need dollars for marketing.
Right.
Not to undercut what's been going on and now have a different or distinct message being sent out to who knows where in God's green earth they're going to be reaching.
Right.
And you're not building synergy. You're actually trying to dilute and diffuse.
Well, and so it I guess to the second part of what I said. So the first part was this new money came in, and the cities and the county have these constraints on their budgets, and maybe they want to reallocate that transit occupancy tax, which is different than the Tourism Bureau or the Tourism Humboldt Lodging Alliance tax, right? So that's one issue. The other issue is then the whole idea of content and how you go around marketing things and all that, and that's almost a separate issue. So, you know, it wasn't, I mean, as I understand it, and the city haven't made a decision yet, you know, there's the opportunity for our organization, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, to say, okay, we'll bid on it. The city has some other goals, and it was marketing, more Eureka-centric marketing, and not just tourism marketing, but marketing some of the other nice things about Eureka.
To the locals.
Right.
Is what heard.
Well,
trying to get people to not feel as if you had to live in Fortuna or McKinleyville, that you could actually live and thrive and survive in Eureka.
Sure. And you know, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. What I do get concerned about is if we begin to sort of balkanize Humboldt County, so each small organization is doing that without talking to each other.
Right, so you get a multiplicity of different messages.
Right.
The thing I do like about it, and again, this is not a funding base, is the message of a little bit of Eureka attitude.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, things aren't going in a handbag.
No.
But, you know, at what expense and how do you deal with that one? And we'll talk about it when we come back. It's 8:19.
You love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster, Executive Director from REDEC, which has absolutely nothing to do with woods, but that's okay. I suppose you still get, you know, the new folks asking about that
part.
Yeah,
what do you do?
Yeah, so, right. Yeah, so do you recommend Penifin? What?
What?
The concept of marketing to an internal as well as an external. It makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get the need. I understand that there are some of the different groups aren't necessarily delivering the goods, or their focus is more narrow than what it is broad. And certainly when Bayshore Mall was more vibrant, there was more monies and previous owners were able to do things.
Right,
and
right.
Blah, 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 blah. Okay, get it. No question about it. But at what expense? You know, is it to do what they used to give the monies to the Chamber of Commerce to do,
right,
the internal stuff,
right,
that's now going to this Visitors Bureau that's inside the Clark Museum that I've not heard much about, but you know, maybe I'm not their target, so I won't get too concerned about that. But, or is this about developments and infill and people wanting to live in Eureka because that's the town that kind of has some cool stuff going on? Well, that sounds like it's more like the Board of Realtors, you know, and folks like that, rather than the city itself doing that.
Well, and so the city is going to put this out to bid, and so they're not going to do it themselves. They're going to find somebody to do it for them.
Local,
could be the Convention and Visitors Bureau. I mean, it could be that we, you know, come back and say, okay, you know, we're going to bid on this. We have a long history. We have a lot of contacts. There's a lot of asset there, and maybe the Convention and Visitors Bureau says, okay, we'll bid on it. And
but for marketing to Humboldt County about Eureka,
why not?
That would kind of seem to be at cross purposes to everything else. That
no, I think internal.
You think it could be complementary?
I think absolutely. If done right, right? I think that you have
to. Let's presume that it's done right and not worry about
right,
it.
Right, right. I mean, I think that done right, your internal marketing and your external marketing have to be consistent and have to be complementary and have to be done together. I mean, and you know, I convene a group. It's very informal. I basically buy them pizza and say, come over to my office once a month. And it's all the chambers and the convention and visitors
bureau. By the way, thanks.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I'll
Wait for that invite.
You always have some left over, so I'll give you a holler. I'll give you a holler.
Yeah, I get the box, huh?
Right. But and so it's people from Southern Humboldt to Arcata, and you know, and I basically said, you know, if you want to show up, invite people, and we're just going to shoot the breeze while we're there, eat some pizza, and talk about and get you all talking to each other about how you're doing your messaging and all and how we're how you're being consistent and how we can maybe work together, because we have so many organizations, the chambers, a couple of visitors bureau organizations, the cities, the county, you know, everybody wanting to put out a good message. And you know, you can either do that as a mob or you can do it as a choir, right? And my goal is, at least if they're meeting and talking to each other, they're a choir. And REDEC, you know, we're not in the business necessarily of marketing anything other than we do the airport stuff, you know, it helps everybody if we have a consistent message and a clear communication about what this community is about and what we want. And quite honestly, I mean, I travel a fair amount. You know, in the summer I drive, I always go to Montana. I drive through a lot of rural towns, you know, and, you know, this compared to some rural areas, man, we've got it all going on. And you know, this summer when I drove to Montana, I'll go out there meet my dad out there. We have a birthday. You know,
presents this year. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, okay. I was in smoke basically from Laytonville to Idaho, and you know, but not here, right? And so we have these attributes that are great, and you know, and we are, not surprisingly, like almost every other community that has some issues. You find me a perfect community, and I'll find you. Right. Well, not even that, you know, even those. I mean, people live in gated communities and you can't, you know, God forbid you leave your garbage can out too long or your garage door open. Right. Because then you'll get that. And
and this goes back, I think, Greg, some time. I can remember when Dennis Hunter was running his ad agency,
mm-hmm.
Heart of Eureka, whatever that means.
Right.
You know, but that was something that was kind of like a rallying point. They trying to do rallying points, and I think if I'm not mistaken, it probably was triggered by Bayshore Mall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that was, you know, at the same time the mills were closing, so there was a lot of turmoil and things
right,
going on.
Right.
The fishing industry was kind of going in the tank a little bit too, so there was significant stuff going on.
Right, right.
But you know, the thing that I see, and I don't think it's rocket science, but is that a lot of the people that work in Eureka don't live in Eureka.
That's right. Yeah.
So you're not here.
Right.
You know, you want, for me at least, it's always kind of scary to drive around Eureka on weekends in the business districts.
Hmm.
There's nobody there. And
right.
We don't have the retail, you know, the old Arthur Johnson's
right,
and the
right.
downtown quarter with the Hollanders. And,
well, and we don't have the housing downtown anymore.
You get this void of things. And Fortuna's got their core. You guys in Ferndale have got your core. Arcata's got theirs.
Right, right.
Eureka's got Cutting.
Well,
Zoo. I mean, there is no center.
Well, and part of the problem, I mean, Eureka has some physical issues with the highway passing right through it. You know, I mean,
right.
Ferndale is easy to have a core because, you know, the road stops there. You know, so, and, you know, that's where the post office is and everything else. So there is that, some of that. But I think another part of the problem is that there's not as much housing and much mixed use downtown as there probably was historically. And, you know, it's well documented that when you have a lot of people living in an area, it gets a lot better.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster, sponsor of this program.
Along with
other programs, too. Not just as himself. Right. Along with Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and American Ag Credit. Okay, CDH Painting, too.
See, I was going to say, isn't Dwayne in there with CDH Painting?
Yeah. I was waiting. Okay, fine. The bag is out of the cat now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Great. The concept of living in the downtown corridor. I think if we go back historically into the 20s, there was a lot of the immigrant types of businesses. They lived upstairs and the business was downstairs. You had anybody looking at Eureka today could still see remnants of what was 8th, 9th, 10th Street with the big Victorians.
Right. And even where my building was a big, beautiful Victorian mansion.
Yeah. And the woods started about 14th or 15th Street.
Yeah.
And you got a couple of the lines running out to the Henderson Center area, but those were cable cars at the time.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was more of a neighborhood than it was a city.
Right. Well, okay. And
dynamics are different.
Yes and no. I mean, there was in the 50s, and now I'm going to trot out my old learning that I got as a poli-sci major 30 years ago. In the 50s, there was this big redevelopment thing going on nationally, and they called it urban renewal or this other thing. And the whole idea was, in many places, we're going to tear down old buildings, we're going to put up new buildings, and because of the way that we use vehicles, we're going to build freeways, people live outside the cities, and we basically took a lot of the folks out of the cities living and moved them out to the suburbs and then had transportation in and out. And what happened then, of course...
We had that here. I mean,
right.
This is not the old family show, but spot me on this one, guys. When Grandpa bought... Grandma and Grandpa were at the top of Booner Hill. Booner Hill did not go through.
Right.
Booner did not go from O Street to S Street. There was this thing called a canyon there.
There was
a lot of those kind of physical neighborhood changes also that occurred at the same time, allowing some of this infill.
Right.
And people with the long commute of now 10 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Instead of walking to work 5 minutes.
Right.
That I think happened just as the city was developing.
Yep.
But we forgot the heart, the core, the guts, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
It wasn't there. People, as soon as they knocked down the old courthouse. Okay, I mean, who wants to sit out on the grass in front of the courthouse?
Well, exactly. Ugh. And so, and again, this is not necessarily a Eureka-specific thing. It's a lot of this happened in the 50s and 60s,
sure,
post-war across the country.
It was and post-earthquake.
Right.
For us, yeah.
Yeah. And so, when I was in college, we studied a lot on New Haven, Connecticut, and some others, which were prime examples of where they did a lot of this urban renewal kind of work. Even in San Francisco, they took away a lot of the working waterfront. Justin Herman was the great redeveloper down there, and they just tore down all these buildings and built these skyscrapers. And then they took this Embarcadero Freeway and basically cut the waterfront off from the rest of the city. And it was a great way to break cities up, and you put the people that you considered undesirable, unfortunately, on one side of the freeway, and then you had things on the other.
Other side of the tracks.
Right. And cities began to sort of empty out at 5 o'clock. And
Eureka does.
Right. So, now Eureka's talking about, well, how do we get people back down into the corridor? And quite honestly, a lot of people want to live down near cities, again. And we're seeing
that kind of cool metro thing. You live upstairs and you come down and you walk a half a block and you got three different restaurant choices and that kind of stuff. But you have parking. Eureka doesn't have parking.
Well,
For a whole other tier of drivers.
Right. But we define parking, not having parking, as having to walk 2 blocks.
If you dropped in another, let's say, 100 individuals or 100 living units down there, so they give you probably 125 rigs.
Right.
you have no commerce because there just is none. I mean, you go back to Arne Ertzkovic. I do.
Right, right.
You know, in some of the stacked parking lots, and it just isn't feasible with the economics right. that we have in our area to do some of that.
You know,
stuff.
I think what we need to do is look at all that, but you know, set the goal. In my opinion, of keeping more people. Jane Jacobs, who wrote this great book called The Death and Life of American Cities, and she was an activist in New York. They got really activated after they tore down the old Penn Station, and which was this beautiful building they tore down.
The old historical.
Yeah. And you know, she talks about the windows on the street, or the eyes of the street, which are the lit up windows that neighborhoods have that look on the street, and that helps with issues of crime and that sort of thing. So where there's activity, you have, you know, you just have less crime. And I, you know, my wife lives in Jackson Heights, New York, which is in Queens. And, you know, they have a pretty active downtown area there, mostly all small businesses, people living upstairs all through there. Some streets are closed, so you can have
pedestrians. The open air mall kind of.
Exactly.
Concept, yeah.
And they create a place where, and then, of course, it doesn't. Jackson Heights itself doesn't really have high rises. I mean, it has Eureka's version of high rises, six story brick apartment buildings mostly, and then two or three bedroom or story houses. But you know, it's very dense, but it also has a sort of neighborhood feel to it, where you have the business owner being right next to their business or people, and they're. So it doesn't matter what time of night you're out there. Of course, it's New York. It's a little different than here, obviously. But there are people out and about. Lights are on. People are home. And that, I think, helps make that safer and more functional.
So with the price of property, with the amount of out-of-area ownership or lack of motivated ownership of buildings in Eureka, with the parking realities as there are, what has to happen to open that door?
Right.
Because right now it's a whole lot easier to buy an empty lot out in Cutton and build
right.
a house there.
Yeah, it is. Well, one of the things the city is doing is redoing its zoning ordinance just so they can make those kinds of things that we want actually legal under our zoning code. And, you know, the old zoning code and the old was adopted in 1966, and it basically mandated a development pattern that you see along Broadway, which is a lot of big parking lots and spread out buildings. So that's one thing. And then they need to, of course, when that's done on the general plan, it has to be approved in the local coastal plan by the Coastal Commission. So Coastal Commission has some trepidation about residents, you know, people living and cutting off coastal access, but I think there's some recognition in that redeveloping our downtown and building up safety and public services and visitor services is something that's desirable for them from their perspective as well. So,
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44. We'll be back with more from Greg Foster.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:47. Back to Talk Shop with Greg Foster. Greg, we've talked a little bit in this show and in preceding ones about ownership.
Right.
Motivated, unmotivated, ROI, non-ROI, in town, out of town. Is ownership a problem or an issue in Eureka as we start to look at trying to do something, you know, even if there's a sentiment for it,
right,
from the residents to do something, and I think that's still a way out there.
Right.
Does it matter?
Absolutely. And you know, I mean, the sort of glib answer to that is depends on the owner. I mean, we have some great owners. We've had some people here who've taken really old properties and took a lot of risk on fixing them up. I think about the Vance and, you know, a lot of these buildings down, the Healy building. you know, Rob and Kurt and a bunch of other folks down that way, who you know, took a chance on these buildings, right? I mean, these weren't necessarily the great. You didn't go necessarily in with just a business approach to these, right?
There was heart.
Yeah, there was a lot of heart in that, and we do need more of that. I mean, I see some buildings down there that have not been upgraded ever or for a long time. They may have a for lease sign tacked to the window, and they, you know, they're just clearly an unmotivated owner. We have some other buildings down there that are really nice, but the owners are not known for treating their tenants very well, and so they have a lot of vacancy. And it's unfortunate because you see folks that, you know, I still get folks that come in and say, oh, I'm looking for a particular place, and you know, but I've been warned not to go to this building because of structural issues, or this building because the landlord doesn't treat people well.
So they've done their homework, and now that
well, it's a small town, right? And they're going to say, well, how about this property? How about this property? And so that's unfortunate. So you do see decaying buildings down there. And if you ask the landlord to say, well, nobody wants to rent it, and you go, well, of course nobody wants to rent it. It's terrible. And if you can't afford to fix it up, then maybe you should sell it. And you know, I'm not a person necessarily who believes in a big heavy hand from the government side, but you know, there's got to be incentives to help.
Well, the invisible hand works nicely.
The invisible hand works nicely, but sometimes the invisible hand just walks away, right? And so then you end up with this community blight, right?
But there are programs in place for that. If it,
well,
really,
and
does
that's
qualify
just it.
As blight.
So you know, I'm a carrot and stick guy, right? You know, it's like I'd rather people go towards the light than beat them towards it.
I'm and, more of a candy bar and cinder block.
But,
guy.
Perfect. Yeah, whatever works. But you know, I think we need to provide incentives for those folks and say we really will value and help you get towards that, but if not, we have to make the cost of neglect more expensive than the cost of not doing something.
Too much fun. Maybe that's where those dollars will go towards.
There you go.
We'll see. Thanks for coming by.
All right. Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.